The countdown is on for the 2021 ECEC Virtual Annual Convention and Legislative Summit, taking place on April 26th through the 28th. Don't miss the premier event in engineering, featuring a high-powered lineup of distinguished speakers from congressional representatives and political commentators to firm leaders and business consultants. Take advantage of unprecedented learning opportunities. For the first time, earn all 18 PDHs through live or on-demand education sessions. Network with your peers and meet with exhibitors through our reimagined virtual platform. The 2021 ACEC Virtual Annual Convention and Legislative Summit has everything you need to prepare your business to succeed. Register now at acec.org. Welcome to the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for April 2nd, 2021. It's been an eventful week here in Washington. Payoff for a lot of months of work in getting ready here, but it's finally infrastructure week, for real. President Biden unveiled his American Jobs Plan, which is a sweeping, I think that might be not even touching how broad this bill is, or this program, unveiled this sweeping proposal that is focused not only on infrastructure, but a number of other social infrastructure and jobs creation policies. And this is essentially the opening salvo, or the opening conversation, for Congress to begin work on an infrastructure package. Which is great news for ACEC members, the engineering industry, and anyone involved in our space. And to kind of get an idea of at least an early handle on exactly what this is, I'm pleased to welcome Matt Reifer, who has been following this for a long time and has been looking at exactly what this proposal is, to give us a little bit more detail. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's good to be back with you again today. You know, as you mentioned Infrastructure Week, we like to say that every week is Infrastructure Week for ACEC. But yeah, it was a big deal this week with the announcement of the administration's plan. And we had expected a bold proposal coming on the heels of the $1.9 trillion economic recovery emergency relief package, that the follow-on initiative from the administration would be centered on infrastructure. And as you said, it was comprehensive and very ambitious in its scope, and really covers, I mean, essentially every market in which ACEC member firms are working. It's totals $2.3 trillion over 8 years, which is a huge number. And yeah, again, pretty much every sector of infrastructure writ large, or anything that you can conceivably categorize as infrastructure. Obviously, the traditional programs, transportation, highways, transit, bridges, rail, airports, ports and waterways. But then, you know, the water infrastructure, water, drinking water and wastewater. Broadband deployment is a key focus in the package, as well as vertical construction, you know, affordable housing, public buildings, federal facilities. Again, just comprehensive in scope and covers a lot of the areas in which our member firms are working.
Yeah, it really does cover practically everything. I mean, even there's been talk, of course, during the campaign, President Biden was talking a lot about expanding EV infrastructure for the transition to electric vehicles. That's in there.
You know, right. VA. I should mention, yeah, it's a good point. The responding to climate change and the threat of climate change and moving toward electrification of the transportation and other sector is a big area of focus. You're right. And then there's pieces on the electric grid and energy supply and storage as well, which again is another area which our firms are working.
Yeah, it looks like $100 billion for a more resilient electric grid. So I mean, there's a lot here for everyone. And that's good, because it means that all of our businesses in both the horizontal and vertical sectors should be able to take advantage of some of the policies here. And again, this is a transformative thing. I mean, really, the scope of this thing is almost like a moonshot for infrastructure, right? Because it's the first time that we've actually taken a look at not just focusing on important things, highways, roads, bridges, expanding it out to deal with these greater topical issues of social equity, access to infrastructure, transportation, mass transit, and then also resiliency in the face of climate change. So it's a very large, broad proposal. Now, $2.25 trillion is nothing to sneeze at. We've now crossed that threshold where you start talking about, you know, it used to be you start talking about billions of dollars, now you're talking about real money. Well, now we're into the trillions, and that's become a normalized thing. The question comes, pay for. It's always a question of how are you going to pay for this thing? And where this creates a little bit of controversy, not only for us, but for businesses in general. The chamber came out with a statement. Of course, House Republicans pushed back as well, is that for infrastructure, historically, it's been user pays. The people who use the transportation systems pay for the improvements to those systems, better roads, better bridges, highway trust fund, gas tax, user fees, and the like. This is different because the president has proposed tax increases to pay for the spending in the bill. Can you go into a little bit more of where the issue there kind of arises?
Yeah, absolutely. The administration early on, and Secretary Buttigieg has been clear about this. They took the gas tax off the table almost immediately. They indicated that this would violate the president's campaign pledge not to raise taxes on individuals making less than $400,000 a year. So it's a political calculation for them not to pursue a gas tax to pay for transportation infrastructure. They need to find other ways to offset this spending. And the proposal includes over $2 trillion of increases in taxes on businesses, on corporations. That includes an increase from 21% to 28% in the corporate tax rate, which is going to capture at least a third of ACEC member firms who are organized as C Corps. So that is a serious challenge for us, and as you indicated, immediately raised objections from Republicans in Congress and from the broader business community.
So this is, the typical way this goes is, at least when you have a opposition kind of set up and you have one party in the White House and another party in control of the Congress, is that the administration proposes and then Congress disposes. You know, we take the, they propose something and the committees of jurisdiction say, thank you very much, Mr. President, throw it in the trash and say, here's our answer. This is really a opening salvo of a conversation that has started long before the campaign started. Chairman DeFazio was proposing a very large $1 trillion infrastructure proposal that went beyond roads and bridges to talk about clean water, talk about all these social infrastructure pieces. This is more in line with what the chairman in the House is thinking as far as, you know, when it comes down to the transportation portion of this. I imagine it's the same with energy and commerce in the House. In the Senate, it's a different story with EPW and the Senate with such a razor-thin number of razor-thin majority by the Democrats. Where does this go from here? What are the prospects for this actually moving in Congress and coming out with an actual bill that can get on the executive's desk?
That's to be determined. It's a great question, and I think we're going to see how that plays out in the coming weeks and months. You know, the speaker came out with a statement that she'd like to move this package through the House by the 4th of July, but acknowledged that, you know, it is very big and bold and ambitious and broad and sweeping. And so that timeline may slip. Our expectation is, you know, the committees of jurisdiction that you mentioned, the T&I committee in the House, the EPW committee in the Senate, they would like to move forward with a bipartisan approach, particularly on surface transportation and the need to reauthorize federal transportation programs before the September 30 deadline and the expiration of those current programs. They want to do that in a bipartisan way and follow regular order. And I should mention, you know, one point of clarification on the president's initiative. Their design is that this would be supplemental to those regular programs. This is not a reauthorization proposal. This is additive. This is on top of that. And now whether they both move through the Congress separately, it remains to be seen. You know, I think given the inclination to try to increase corporate taxes, I think a lot of Democrats would like to move this through another budget reconciliation process where they can avoid the filibuster in the Senate and move forward on just a simple majority vote of 50 plus one there. But even that is no slam dunk. I mean, you have plenty of moderate Democrats who I think are nervous about the size of spending and the tax increases that are being proposed. And as you indicated, the margins are very, very slim. So we'll see how this plays out, whether they do move forward in a partisan way through reconciliation or whether pieces of this move forward in a bipartisan way, in the context of the reauthorization debate or a mix of both. We'll see how that plays out in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, the one thing that we can definitely say is that all eyes are now turning to this plan. If you remember all the media coverage that was given to the first economic recovery proposal, the stimulus coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, that really dominated Washington for as long as it took to get that done. And you noticed all the intrigue that happened with the Senate with reconciliation, dealing with the parliamentarian, all those different things. That's going to be replicated here. So really, infrastructure is now the singular issue in Washington. We've talked about that being the case a couple of times, you know, in the past, but really it's coming to its own right now. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that we also have an event coming up at the end of this month, which is tied into advocacy. And of course, that is the 2021 Annual Convention and Legislative Summit, which we'll be holding virtually at the end of the month between April 26th and the 28th. Part of that programming is going to be a congressional issues briefing. Matt, you'll be taking part in that with Steve Hall. We'll be having a CEO panel. We'll be having members of Congress come in to talk to us about what's happening. I don't think there's been a better time to be an engaged member of ACEC than right now, because members are actually trying to get their own arms around what this thing is. And they're going to need guidance from outside. And this is where our members, our grassroots, can be really effective in explaining why certain investments in infrastructure are critical to the economy. Everything's kind of coming together. We have the ACEC Research Institute studies that talk about our economic impact and contribution. We have our ongoing advocacy on infrastructure. We have our convention coming up, and all this happens at once. It's a synchronicity that doesn't happen a lot, but it's time to take advantage of it. So if you haven't registered, really encourage you to register now so you're there and you're taking part in the process, because there's going to be a lot of work to do.
I agree, Jeff. I was on a call this week with our current chair, Charlie G, and he gave us a real pep talk and our members a pep talk that this is our time, right? We're going to be the thought leaders here as this agenda comes together. We're going to be able to articulate engineering industry priorities and visions for the future. I mean, you have a 25-page fact sheet from the administration on a $2.3 trillion proposal. There's a lot of work to be done in fleshing this out and how it's going to be developed and then eventually enacted. And we're going to be at the table and heavily engaged both here in D.C. and then at the grassroots level.
Absolutely. And that does come down to our members being engaged as well and reaching out to their elected representatives and explaining why this is important. So, Matt, it's going to be interesting to see how this develops. Again, Speaker Pelosi said July 4th, the Senate, if they move through reconciliation, you know, they could move soon after that. We could actually see something happen by the end of the summer. But, you know, it's important to remember, we don't have a lot of legislative weeks between now and then to really deal with. When do you think that the committees are really going to start working on these things?
Well, they're working on it already, for sure. Certainly, when it comes to reauthorization of transportation, I mean, they are receiving, you know, stakeholder priorities. They are receiving member priorities, and they are drafting legislation. And both the House and the Senate committees want to move something later this spring, certainly by Memorial Day. The other components, the other committees are working as well. You know, on the water side, both House and Senate committees have already introduced, and in the Senate's case, passed water infrastructure for mm-hmm. drinking water and wastewater programs, and reauthorizing and expanding those. So these things are already, you know, coming down the pike, and will continue, and then they'll be cobbled together, you know, in a broader package, we expect. So the work is happening now. And we'll continue to develop.
Well, Matt, we will stay on this, and I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk about developments with this package. This is just the beginning. It's going to take a while for everybody to kind of take a look at it and figure out where they're going to be coming from on it. So do appreciate your time today. We put out a statement on this. It's up on Last Word on the website. We also put out a statement related to kind of a breakdown summary of this. And if you have any questions, reach out to ECEC Advocacy, Matt Reifer, Steve Hall, and the team over there for some more information or for some ideas about how you can get involved. Matt, thank you very much for taking the time today to talk about this.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
You too, and happy Easter. And that same goes to you, our audience. Happy Easter, happy weekend, at least, and enjoy it. And try to get outside, enjoy the weather if you're having good weather. Hopefully in D.C. we will. And this again has been your Government Affairs Update from ACEC for April 2nd, 2021. We'll see you next time.